بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد خاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. الحمد لله. My dear respected brothers and elders and sisters listening, we were going through the life of سيدنا عمر رضي الله عنه, and I think this is the fifth week or the fifth session we're discussing the life of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. When it came to discussing the life of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, we managed to cover it in 2 or 3 weeks. But I think in this entire book, and the book is 3 volumes, so you have this book, which is the first volume, and it's 3 volumes. And it's the lives of all of the great pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the author starts with the illustrious Sahaba, the great companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he moves on to talk about the Tabi'een, those who came after them, and then onwards, all the way till his time, the great awliya of Allah, the saints of Allah living in his time. He mentions all of their biographies. But I think the longest biography in this book is of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. It's about 100 pages long. So he's got into a lot of detail. So what I do is I'm reading and I'm highlighting. So I'm highlighting anything that I think needs to be mentioned, and many things are a bit technical and sometimes don't need to be mentioned, so I'm not mentioning them. Anyway, so last week we were talking about Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, how many times he wished for something to happen and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse of the Quran about it. Last week we mentioned the incident of Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the leader of the hypocrites, the leader of the munafiqeen. When he died, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led his janazah salah, his janazah prayer. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu wasn't having it. He wasn't happy with it. And he obstructed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came in front of him. And he said, "Ya Rasulullah, this man Abdullah ibn Ubay, on this day he did such and such a thing. He said such and such a thing. Are you going to lead his janazah?" And he kept on reminding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of all of the hypocrisy and the many incidents that this man was responsible for that were against Islam and the Muslims. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled and he said, "Oh Umar, I've made a decision. Allah has given me a choice. Either istaghfir lahum or la tastaghfir lahum. Ask forgiveness for them or do not ask forgiveness for them. You have a choice." So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, "I am choosing to ask forgiveness for him, to do dua that Allah ta'ala forgives him." So this is the shafqa and this is the love and the affection of Rasulullah and the concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though this man tried to dismantle the unity of the Muslims in Medina, even though this man tried to take apart the Muslims, still Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is so desirous that this man goes to Jannah and is saved from the fire of Jahannam. That's why Allah Ta'ala himself describes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا, that Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is very, very soft towards the believers. Allah has created him in a very soft way. You could hurt him, you could harm him, but you'd always be concerned about your hidayat, about how you can be saved from the fire of Jahannam. But anyway, we mentioned about what happened after that, how Allah Ta'ala revealed a verse saying, you know, in the future, never ever, وَلَا تُصَلِّ عَلَى أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَاتَ أَبَدًا. If any of these munafiqeen, any of these hypocrites die, never ever read janazah upon them. Never ever perform the janazah salah, because Allah Ta'ala will never forgive them. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned, this was because I had this intention in my mind. And another incident is narrated by Sayyidina Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahmatullahi alayhi. Muhammad ibn Sirin is the famous tabi'i. Many people may have used his book, Khab ki Ta'bir, the interpretation of dreams. So most of, when people give an interpretation of dreams, they give it from the book of Muhammad bin Sirin. And he has a big book, and he has a small book, and there are a lot of things attributed to him that he did not actually say. But you know what happens with our people, many times we circulate things that are not. So many, you have many books, dream interpretation that Muhammad bin Sirin did not give. For example, you might open a book of dream interpretation and it might be talking about cars, it might be talking about if a person sees, I don't know, a machine in their dream or something like that. Sometimes you have these things. It means this. And it's in the book of Muhammad bin Sirin. So Muhammad bin Sirin was just after the Sahaba. He wasn't there when machines were invented. But this happens sometimes when people's books are published again and again and again. People start putting in their own bits of... That's why you can go online and type in dream interpretation and he'll say, this is the dream interpretation that Muhammad bin Sirin gave. But they've got all kinds of things of the modern day and age in there. If you see this modern thing in your dream, what does it mean? So obviously Muhammad bin Sirin did not give such an interpretation. Anyway, this narration is mentioned by him. He says that Uyayna ibn Hisan and Aqra ibn Habis. Uyayna ibn Hisan and Aqra ibn Habis were two of the leaders of the Arabs before Islam. So on one occasion they came to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This is in the era when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the Khalifa, was the leader of the Muslims. So these two men, they came to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and they said, Ya Khalifata Rasulillah, O the Khalifa, O the representative of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they started talking about a land. They said, we have this particular land, and it's barren land. There's no grass upon it. There's nothing grows upon it. No greenery grows upon it. There's no benefit in it. So, do you give permission to us that فَإِنْ رَأَيْتَ أَن تَقْطَعْنَاهَا لَعَلَّنَا نَحْدِثُهَا وَنَزْرَعُهَا وَلَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَن يَنْفَعُ بِهَا بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ. So basically, they said to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, O Khalifa of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have this particular land and it's of no benefit. Basically, it belongs to the Muslims. There's a particular land that belongs to the Muslims. There's no benefit to it. The Muslims cannot benefit from it. Do you give us permission to take this land and we can make some use of it? So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asked the people who were sitting around him, and he did mashwara, and he said, مَا تَرَوْنَ فِي مَا قَالْ. What do you people think about what they're saying? Should we give this land to these two men? So the people around them, they said, إِنْ كَانَتْ أَرْضًا سَبْخَةً لَا يَنْتَفِعُ بِهَا فَنَرَىٰ أَنْ تَقْطَعَهَا لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَنْفَعَ بِهَا بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ. So the people who were sitting around Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, they said, look, O Abu Bakr, this land, there's no benefit to this land. No greenery grows on this land. There's no faida in this land. So we think if you give it to these two men, maybe they may find a way to make it beneficial. So just give it to them. So وَكَتَبَ لَهُمَا بِذَلِكَ كِتَابًا. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the Khalifa of the time. So this is in the time of the Khilafat of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So he writes a letter saying that this land now belongs to Uyayna ibn Hisan and Aqra ibn Habis. وَأَشْهَدَ عُمَرُ وَلَيْسَ فِي الْقَوْمِ. And in that letter, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, out of the people who are happy with me giving this land to these two men is also Umar. Because whenever Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would make a decision, Sayyidina Umar would always be there. And he would always ask him what he thought. But on this occasion, Umar wasn't there. But Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu thought, Umar is going to be happy with it anyway. So he said, Umar is also happy with this. وَلَيْسَ فِي الْقَوْمِ. فَانْطَلَقَ إِلَىٰ عُمَرَ يَشْهَدَانِهِ. So both of these two men went to Umar radiallahu anhu and said, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, has told you to sign your name to say you're also happy with us giving this, with him giving this land to us. So when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu took the letter and he read it, تَفَلَ فِيهِ وَمَحَاهُ. He ripped the letter up. He took the letter, it's written by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he took the letter and he ripped it up. And then he said, إِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ يَتَأَلَّفُكُمَا وَالْإِسْلَامُ يَوْمَئِذٍ ذَلِيلٌ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَعَزَّ الْإِسْلَامِ. So this is the wisdom and the sharp foresightedness of Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, you two men, because you see Aqra ibn Habis and Uyayna ibn Hisan, they were leaders before Islam, great chiefs. So they became Muslim in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right at the end of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So like many other people who became Muslim towards the end of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life, Rasulullah gave them a lot of wealth, a lot of possessions. Because in that time, like the verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that zakat can be given to people to win them over towards Islam. It's not applicable anymore. This was only applicable to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he would give a lot of wealth to these kind of people, people who are new to Islam. Because then they would get, you know, a lot of money and wealth, and they would feel more comfortable being Muslim. So Rasulullah gave them a lot of these things. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, look, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave you a lot of things, a lot of extra financial support. Because in those days, Islam was weak. He says, now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given izzah to Islam, respect to Islam. Then he says, fadhaba, both of you leave from here. So he told them both to go. And then both of them came back to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And they said, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا نَدْرِي أَأَنْتَ الْخَلِيفَ أَمْ عُمَرَ. They said, oh Abu Bakr, we don't know, are you Khalifa or is Umar Khalifa? You wrote us a letter saying that this land belongs to us. We took it to Umar. Umar ripped up the letter. So who's Khalifa? Are you the Khalifa or is Umar the Khalifa? So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, of course this is his tawadu and his humility. He said, بَلْ هُوَ لَوْ كَانَ شَاءَ. He said, if he wants to be Khalifa, he can be Khalifa. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, if Umar wants to be Khalifa, he can be Khalifa. Meaning, I don't care. Me and what me and Umar say is both the same. The fact that Sayyidina Umar ripped up the letter of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did not affect Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He said, if Umar does this, he knows what's best. And then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu comes to Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He's very angry. Wa huwa mughdhib, is very angry. And he comes and stands in front of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then he says, O Abu Bakr, tell me about this land that you have given to these two men. Does it belong to you or does it belong to the Muslims? So he says to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, this land that you gave to these two men, is it your personal property or is it the property of the Muslims? So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, this is the property of the Muslims, it's not my personal property. So then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, why did you then give it to these two men and not give it to anybody else from the Muslims? What is so special about these two men that they have taken this land and not anybody else from the Muslims? So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, إِشْتَشَرْتُ الَّذِي حَوْلِي فَأَشَارُوا عَلَيَّ بِذَلِكَ. The people who are around me, I did mashwara with them. I consulted them and they told me to do this, so I acted upon the mashwara. And then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, did you do mashwara with all of the Muslims? He's very upset. He said, it doesn't belong to this man. This land, especially the Baytul Mal. And we see later, inshallah, it'll come, how Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is so particular about the Baytul Mal, public treasury. He would say each penny in there belongs to every single Muslim. So I have to be very careful how I spend this. So he said, did you do ishara with all of the Muslims? Did you do mashwara with all of the Muslims? Don't you think it would have been better if you consulted all of the Muslims? So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, قَدْ كُنْتُ قُلْتُ لَكْ. O Umar, I told you before, you know how to do this better than me. Meaning Sayyidina Abu Bakr, because when Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was made Khalifa, he said, no, don't make me Khalifa. But Umar radiallahu anhu, what happened in the, inshallah, I don't know if it will come or maybe it will come later, in the Shi'ab, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away and there was confusion, who should be Khalifa? Straight away the Ansar, the people of Medina, the Sahaba, they gathered and they wanted to elect a Khalifa from themselves. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Umar and Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, they all three of them went to this garden to meet the Ansar. So they were having discussions who should be the Khalifa, and then he was about to get very heated. And then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, I will choose a person who is the best of people and everybody will give bay'ah to him. Everybody agreed and he just gripped the hand of Sayyidina Abu Bakr and gave bay'ah to him. So he basically forced him. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu forced Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to be the Khalifa. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr is saying, Umar, I told you before that you know how to do this job better than me. And now you're coming and you're telling me that I've done things wrong. وَلَكِنَّكَ غَلَبْتَنِي. He says, أَنْتَ أَقْوَى عَلَيَّ هَذَا مِنِّي وَلَكِنَّكَ غَلَبْتَنِي. I told you before that you know how to do this better than me. However, you forced me into this. أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا وَأَرْضَاهُمَا وَرَضِيَ عَنَّا بِهِمَا. And then the author says, this is Sayyidina Abu Bakr said something like this, may Allah Ta'ala be pleased with both of them. This just shows, you know, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, his wisdom. And when it comes to the haqq, the truth, he knows, he doesn't see. It's like, you know, sometimes you see, okay, who's there? I need to be careful when I'm talking, I need to watch what I'm saying. Sayyidina Umar didn't see anything, he only saw the haqq. And that's why Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu says, when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu passed away, Ali radiallahu anhu was crying. And he's saying, every time Umar spoke, we would see haqq coming from his mouth. Everything he said was true and haqq. Like, he wouldn't stop, he didn't have any personal vendetta, any personal desires, any personal... Every time he spoke, he was only looking to see what's the truth, what is the best thing for Islam and the Muslims. And then he mentions that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was the first person to write the date of Islam. So you know this date that we have, the Hijri calendar? The person who founded the Hijri calendar was Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Because in the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, he didn't have the time, radiallahu anhu, to do all of these different matters. In the time of Sayyidina Umar, radiallahu anhu, he wanted to preserve the important dates and set important things. And you need a calendar. You need a calendar to plot the important events. So he consulted the Sahaba. When should we start the calendar? Some people said from the time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born. That was an opinion. Some people said from the time Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was made a Nabi at the age of 40 years old. That was one opinion. But then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu gave the opinion that I think he should start from the time that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the year that he migrated from Makkah to Medina, the Hijrah, the migration. That's why the Islamic calendar is known as Hijri. So this year is the 1443 Hijri. Yeah?
Okay. 15 is
the 443, I think. Yeah. So this is the year. So this is the year since Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina. And another virtue of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is mentioned that he was the first person to actually place stones in the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like we mentioned before, the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Masjid al-Nabawi, in the time of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was not like our Masjid here. Beautiful carpets, very comfortable. No. It was just soil, it was just earth. And there was just a simple structure. The Sahaba say we would see cats and dogs just walking into the masjid, walking around, playing, going. That's why you have the famous hadith where a man came, an A'rabi, a new Muslim, he'd never been to the masjid before. He came in and he started urinating in one corner of the masjid. He started urinating in one corner of the masjid because he couldn't tell that this is a sacred place. He didn't have beautiful carpets like this. Of course he wouldn't have urinated if that was the situation. He just saw earth, soil, and he started urinating in one corner, and the Sahaba about to stop him. Rasulullah said, let him finish. He's already started, let him finish. You can't stop a man halfway through urination. It's very painful. So he finished, and then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, these masajid, these houses of Allah are not created for this. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told someone, run some water over it, and he washed it out. But the masajid were very, very simple. So many times, this is why you have many ahadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when you are in namaz, then do not move rocks from in front of you, stones from in front of you. Because the sahaba were praying namaz on soil. Sometimes imagine you're praying outside. Of course, there might be a small pebble or a small stone that you might. So they would move it out of the way. Rasulullah would say, don't do this, because this is distracting in your namaz. And we don't have any of this, but we still get distracted. We get distracted by playing with the carpet. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, don't do this. Anyway, in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he put lots of stones down in a way to make it much more comfortable. But still there was no carpet. For many, many years, there was no carpet. It was just soil. The Sahaba would read namaz and such. And then he mentions another virtue of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Another thing that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu accomplished was the starting of Tarawih. And I mentioned this last week as well. The Tarawih in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that people used to فَإِذَا النَّاسُ أَوْزَاعٌ مُتَفَرِّقُونَ. The Umar radiallahu anhu comes into the masjid in Ramadan and he sees one person praying here, two people praying there, three people praying there, and everybody is praying scattered in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he gathers them all together, and then he made Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'ab radiallahu anhu the imam, and he was very happy with this. And then he said, نِعْمَةِ الْبِدْعَةُ هَذِهِ. This is a beautiful thing that I've started. This is why, mashallah, some of our brothers, they say this 20 rakats tarawih is the bid'at of Umar. And this is the most silliest things a person can possibly say. Umar, the person who is the most strongest, everything he says is the haq, the most strongest follower of the sunnah, he's going to turn around and make his own bid'ah, make his own religion. And the sahaba who are there are not going to stop him. Because since Umar radiallahu anhu started the 20 rakats tarawih, all the sahaba accepted. You don't find a single hadith where any sahabi is saying, we didn't like Umar doing this because he did something new. No, they were all happy with this. In the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, 20 rakat tarawih. In the time of Ali radiallahu anhu, 20 rakat tarawih. All the four great imams of Islam, Imam Abu Hanifa, Malik, Shafi'i, Ahmad, all said 20 rakat tarawih. Why would they all say this if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted something else? Or if Umar radiallahu anhu invented something in Islam? Did they not know deen better than us? Like people talk about this whole, I don't want to go into this issue, but some people talk about this whole issue of, you know, sometimes the three talaq mas'ala, it happens. That when you say three talaqs, a man says three talaqs to his wife in one gathering, how many talaqs happen? So it's a big issue. You see, again, in Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, in his time, in the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a person would say talaq three times to their wife, they would be asked, what did you mean by this? Because sometimes it can happen, a person doesn't realize, and they say talaq three times, because the first time the wife didn't hear them properly, so they say it twice just to make her emphasize that one talaq. So in the time of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum, you would be asked about your intention. Did you intend to give three talaqs or did you intend one? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, no, finished. If you say three, I don't care about your intention, three means three. So if you say three as a joke, if you say three just to emphasize the first one, or whatever, three means three, your marriage is totally void now. So Umar radiallahu anhu is the first one to say that, and that's the official position. Same with he did with Tarawih. And then Sayyidina Uthman didn't change it, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu didn't change it. All four Imams of Islam accept that three talaq means three. Later you had Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullahi alayhi, one of the great scholars of Islam. He came along and he had his own opinion. And he said, no, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in the time of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, three talaq would be asked about your intention. So now, mashallah, you have some of our brothers. They give three talaqs, and then they say, oh, I only meant one, just so they can be with their wife. So all of the Imams of Islam have said, this, your marriage is broken. So again, all of these things Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu made firm. Doesn't mean that he went against what Allah wanted and his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted. This is the whole point. Umar radiallahu anhu would never ever go against something that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Why would he invent his own deen? He knew deen better than anybody. And this is the reason why he all of these rulings came in his place, in his time. Sayyidina Sha'bi radiallahu anhu, he mentions, did I mention that one? I'll mention this. Moving on to the justice of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu became Khalifa, Then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu made governors. And he sent the governors because in the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, a large part of the world was conquered. The Persian Empire was conquered. Egypt was conquered. You know, the Byzantine Empire was conquered. So these were huge countries. So they needed people to rule them. Obviously, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is the main ruler of all the Muslims. But he needed governors and he needed trustworthy governors. So whenever he would choose a governor, in Islam, in the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, not many governors were appointed. Just because the Islamic, the countries were very small. But there were not many states or lands that were Muslim. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, because there was such rapid expansion of lands, so there needed to be so many governors overseeing those lands. So whenever Umar radiallahu anhu appointed a governor, he would really, really take a full interview. You know, he would make sure that this is the person. And then he would have his scouts in there, his kind of spies, you could say, watching that man. If that man did anything which Umar radiallahu didn't like, straight away he would be brought to Medina, he'd be humiliated in front of everyone, and then his position would be taken off him. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu was so careful about choosing a governor. And you see, any time he saw a small mistake from his governor, you see how he would react. So I'm going to mention some incidents, and it makes a person wonder. So Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he mentions that we were with Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And a person came from Egypt, and the governor of Egypt was Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As. He was the one who actually conquered Egypt. His army went and conquered Egypt. Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As is a great Sahabi. So a man came from Egypt and he said, "Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, O leader of the Muslims, I have come to you and I need your help." Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, what's wrong? What's your problem? What do you need my assistance in?" So the man says that أجرى عمرو بن العاص الخيل بمصر فأقبلت على فرسي فلما حضر الناس قام محمد بن عمرو يقول هذه فرسي ورب الكعبة. He says, Amr ibn al-As gathered all of the people who had horses in Egypt for some particular occasion. And he said, I took my horse there. When I took my horse there, then Muhammad, the son of Amr ibn al-As, basically the son of the governor, he said, I swear by Allah, your horse is my horse. Basically, it's my horse, but the governor's son said, I swear by Allah, this horse is mine. فَلَمَّا دَنَا مِنِّي قُلْتُ لَهُ هَذِهِ فَرَسِي وَرَبُّ الْكَعْبَةِ. He said, I said to the man Muhammad, the governor's son, that this is my horse. I swear by Allah, this is my horse. You're just making this up. Maybe because he has a very good, nice, strong horse or something. So he said, this is my horse, I swear by Allah. He said, however, this man Muhammad, Amr ibn al-As's son, he took his whip and he hit me with it. ويقول خذها وأنا ابن الأكرمين. And then Muhammad said something. He said, take it back, take your horse then. And then he said, وأنا ابن الأكرمين. I am the son of two noble people. Muhammad, he said, when people get angry, they say things. He said, I am the son of two noble people. My father, Amr ibn al-As, is a noble man, the governor of Egypt, the ruler of Egypt. And my grandfather, you know who his grandfather was? Al-As ibn Wa'il, one of the leaders of Quraysh. He's a very evil man, one of the chiefs of the Quraysh who Allah Ta'ala cursed in the Quran. إِنَّا أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرَ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَانْحَرْ إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرِ. This man, Al-As ibn Wa'il, he was one of the leaders of Quraysh, but he was an enemy of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But anyway, this Muhammad, he got upset and he said, I am the son of two noble people. My father and my grandfather were noble. So Umar radiallahu anhu had this. And of course, Umar radiallahu anhu, you can imagine, there is such injustice happening here. قال فوالله ما زاد عمر على أن قال اجلس ثم كتب إلى عمرو بن العاص. He said, Umar said, you sit down here, and then he wrote a letter straight to Amr ibn al-As رضي الله عنه. He said, إذا جاءك كتاب هذا فقبل وحضر ابنك محمد معك. He says, oh Umar, as soon as this letter reaches you, I want you here and your son Muhammad here with you in Medina straight away. So فدعا عمرو ابنه محمد. So Umar called his son Muhammad. And then he said, هَلْ أَحْدَثْتَ حَدَثًا أَوْ جَنَيْتَ جِنَايَةً. Amr ibn al-As is worried. He doesn't know what his son did. He called his son Muhammad and he says, have you done something? Why is Umar so strictly, sternly calling us both to Medina? And then his son said, Muhammad said, no, I don't think I've done anything wrong. So then Umar said, فَمَا بَالُ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عُمَرْ يَكْتُبُ فِيكَ. So why is Umar calling us to Medina? Anyway, they both came to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So this narration is mentioned by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He says that, I swear by Allah, we were sitting with Umar radiallahu anhu in Mina. It was a time of Hajj. So we were sitting in Mina. إِذْ نَحْنُ بِعَمْرٍ قَدْ أَقْبَلَ فِي إِزَارٍ وَرِدَاءٍ. Umar ibn al-As came and he was wearing a shawl and he was wearing a salwar, trousers, and he was wearing a chadar on top. And then he says, Umar radiallahu anhu started looking left and right to see where's his son. فَإِذَنْ هُوَ خَلْفَ أَبِيهِ. He was standing behind his father. The son Muhammad was standing behind his father. فَقَالَ أَيْنَ الْمِصْرِي. Umar رضي الله عنه said, where is the Egyptian man? The man who came to complain to me, where is he? قَالَ هَا أَنَذَا. Someone said, he's just there. So Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه said, دُونَكَ الدُّرَّ. Here, take my whip. You see, Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه, when he would walk in the marketplaces, he would always carry a whip in his hand, a lash. And if he would see anything wrong, he'd give a lash first and then he'd talk second. So if he saw anybody doing any fraud, any cheating, any deceiving, any lying, he'd use his whip first and he'd speak second. He's the Khalifa of the time, he can do whatever he wants to. So this is why everybody was so disciplined in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. So Sayyidina Umar said, here's my whip to the Egyptian man. He says, Idrib ibn al-Akramain. Idrib ibn al-Akramain. He got so angry because Amr ibn al-As and Muhammad had said, I am ibn al-Akramain, the son of two respected men. Umar radiallahu anhu gave the Egyptian man the whip and he said, hit the son of the two respected men. Hit the son of the two respected. He kept saying this sentence because he hated, he despised the sentence so much because he's filled with pride. You know, I am, my father is this, my grandfather is like this. So then Umar said, hit him. So, فَضَرَبَهُ حَتَّى أَثْخَنَهُ. So the Egyptian man, he hit Muhammad till Muhammad was his back was hurt. ثُمَّ قَالَ أَجِلْهَا عَلَى صِلْعَةِ أَبِيهِ عَمَرٍ. He said, now hit his father Amr. So he said to the Egyptian man, he's hit Muhammad who did the crime. He said, hit his father Amr. So this is, Amr is the governor of Egypt. He's a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a senior Sahabi. And he didn't do any crime, his son did the crime. But Umar, this is how stern he was with his governors. You are supposed to be responsible. He said, hit his father Amr. فَوَاللَّهِ مَا ضَرَبَكْ إِلَّا بِفَضْلِ سُلْطَانِ. So the man, Egyptian man said, ya Amir al-Mu'min, I can't do this. I can't hit the governor. He hasn't done anything to me. فقال يا أمير المؤمنين قد ضربت من ضربني. Oh أمير المؤمنين, I hit the one who hit me. I don't need to hit his father. The one who has hurt me, I've taken my revenge on him. فقال أما والله لو ضربت من ضربك لما حلنا بينك وبينه حتى تكون أنت الذي تدعوه. يا عمر متى استعبدتم الناس وقد ولدتم أمهم أحرارا. سبحان الله. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was so angry. He said, I do not care, you need to hit this man, his father. And then he said, oh Umar, when did you start making people ghulams, servants, when Allah has made them azad and free? Meaning this man, his horse belongs to him. You've come along and you're treating like him like he's your slave. For example, if a person has a slave, the slave's property is the master's property. That's the rule in Islam. If, obviously, there's no situation where slavery exists anymore. If slavery did exist and a person had a slave, then if your slave owned something, that belongs to you. The fact that Muhammad, the son of Amr, had said, that horse belongs to me, is showing that he thinks this man is he's some kind of slave. So he said, oh Amr, when did you start making people your servants when Allah has made them free? He was very angry. ثُمَّ الْتَفَتَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمِصْرِي فَقَالَ إِنْصَرِفْ رَاشِدًا فَإِنْ رَابَكَ رَيْبٌ فَاكْتُبْ إِلَيْهِ. He says to the Egyptian man, you go back now. You take your horse, you go back. If anybody accuses you, if you go back to Egypt and anybody says anything against you, then you come back to me straight away. So he's in Medina, so far away from Egypt, but his eyes are on the entire kingdom of Islam. And that's why they say when Umar radiallahu anhu, 10 years of Khilafah, he was like, everything was under lock and key. You couldn't make a move without Umar radiallahu anhu finding out. The governors he'd chosen, the control and discipline he had. So many of the ulama used to say, as long as Umar radiallahu anhu was alive, the fitna was locked. As soon as he died, the box opened and all the fitnas came out. After the demise of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. I can carry on for a very long time. So what I'll do is, inshallah, I'll carry on for another 5 minutes and then we'll stop, inshallah. Just so I don't want to overburden people. Sayyidina... just to do a few more incidents to show the justice of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So again this incident is about Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. It mentioned that Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, he divided his wealth. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu found out that my governor Amr ibn al-As has a lot of money. So he, you see, when he would make someone governor, he would know exactly how much money that person has. If later on he got too much money, he would say, you are misusing the wealth of the Muslims. Where did you get so much money from? Straight away. So he says, وَقَاسَمَ عَمْرُ بْنُ الْعَاصِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَالَهُ وَبَعَثَ إِلَيْهِ مُحَمَّدِ بْنُ مَسْلَمَةَ الْأَنصَارِي وَكَتَبَ إِلَيْهِ عَهْدِي بِكَ وَأَنْتَ فَقِيرٌ لَا مَالَ لَكَ. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu distributed his wealth, and he had a lot of wealth, and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu found out. So he sent Muhammad ibn Maslama al-Ansari. So Sayyidina Muhammad ibn Maslama, I think he was a Sahabi, I'm not sure, but he was one of the right-hand people of Sayyidina Umar. You see, Sayyidina Umar had a few people who he was very trusted and close to him. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's most closest advisor was Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. The most closest advisor of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was Sayyidina Ali. That's why never do you see in the life of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he never let Ali radiallahu anhu go in battle, even though Sayyidina Ali was such a strong, a brave, courageous person. He never went on battlefield. He never made him a general. He said, Ali, I need you in Medina. And a few times Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said something and he made a mistake in what he said, and Sayyidina Ali corrected him. And Umar would always say, Ali, this is why I need you here. And even later, he'll come, inshallah, even when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was passing away, he said, if I was to make a khalifa, I would have made Ali khalifa. He said, but I don't want to force someone to take this responsibility, because this responsibility is so great. That's why he made a 6 people group and he said, one of you become khalifa. So he didn't want to say to someone, for example, he's the khalifa. If he says to Ali, Ali, you are khalifa, Ali now has to be khalifa. He's got no choice. So he said, if I was to make someone khalifa, it would have been Ali, radiallahu anhu. He says, but I didn't want to force anybody to take this responsibility. Anyway, one of the close people of Umar radiallahu anhu was this man, Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu anhu. And he would always be used to discipline other people. Umar radiallahu anhu would use 2 people to discipline other Sahaba and other companions. One of them was Muhammad ibn Maslama, and the second was Bilal radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar had so much respect for Bilal radiallahu anhu, you would think Bilal is the master and Umar is the slave. This is how much respect he would give to Bilal. And the Sahaba had so much respect for Bilal, you would think they were all the slaves of Bilal. Whereas there was a time when Bilal was a slave. But this is what Islam, this is the beauty of Islam. Whenever Bilal would do a decision, that's why when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu wanted to discipline the great Sayyidina Khalid bin al-Walid, who everybody respected, who won so all of these lands that were conquered, the main person responsible was Khalid bin al-Walid radiallahu anhu. But later, Sayyidina Umar became a bit upset with him. So when he wanted to discipline him, who did he send? He sent Bilal. And Sayyidina Khalid said, Bilal, you are like my father, you are my master. You do what you have to do. And Sayyidina Bilal would say, I am just under the command of the Amir al-Mu'mineen. And so one of these people was Muhammad ibn Maslama. So he sent Muhammad ibn Maslama. I'll do this, this is the last incident I'll do. So Sayyidina Umar ibn al-As has too much money, and Umar radiallahu anhu is not happy. So he sends Muhammad ibn Maslama with a letter to Umar ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. And inside of that letter it's written, عهدي بك وأنت فقير لا مال لك وقد بلغني أنه صار لك ماشية من خيل وإبل وبقر وعبيد فمن أين لك هذا المال. So he said, in that letter it was written, Muhammad ibn Maslama took the letter. In that letter he said, Umar said, oh Umar, I made you the governor of Egypt and you were a faqir. You're a poor man, you didn't have any money. And now I have heard news that you have lots of cattle and goats and sheep and slaves. So tell me, where did you get this money from? Where did you get this wealth from? Always on top of his governors. فكتب إليه. So Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, he wrote back, he says, إني ببلد السعر فيه رخيص. He says, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, you have sent me to Egypt. The market value in Egypt, or the currency in Egypt, is very, very weak compared to the currency of the Arabs. So even though I had less money, my currency is very strong here in Egypt. So he says, وإني أعالج من الزراعة ما يعالج الناس. He says, so I have been farming, I have been harvesting like the people do, and this is how I... He said, I haven't cheated anyone, I haven't robbed anyone's wealth, this is all through my hard work. وَفِيمَا رَزَقَنِيَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ مِنْ رِزْقِ أَمِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَعَى وَوَاللَّهِ لَوْ رَأَيْتُ خِيَانَتَكَ حَلَالًا لَمَا خِنْتُكَ. He says, O Umar, if I thought your khiyana, basically if I was a khain, if I was a deceiver, and I was someone who deceived, then I would have deceived. But he said, I'm not a deceiver, I'm not a cheater. فَقْصِرْ يَا أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِنَّ لَنَا أَحْسَابًا فَإِنْ رَجَعْنَا إِلَيْهَا عِشْنَا بِهَا. So basically he's trying to console Umar radiallahu anhu, that, oh Umar, all this wealth is mine. I haven't done anything wrong to get it. Anyway, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he wrote back to him. He says, مَا يُغْنِي عَنْكَ أَن تُزَكِّي نَفْسَكَ. Because Umar is saying, I'm not a khain, I'm a good person. Umar radiallahu anhu wrote back the first sentence. He said, you don't need to speak good about yourself. In the letter, it's very strict. He said, you don't need to start saying praises about yourself. I don't want to hear praises about yourself. He said, وَقَدْ بَعَثْتُ إِلَيْكَ مُحَمَّدِ ابْنُ مَسْلَمَ. I've already sent Muhammad ibn Maslama to you. فَشَاطِرْهُ مَالَ. Give him half of everything that you own. Everything that you own, split it in half and give it to Muhammad ibn Maslama. He will take it off you. Basically, Umar is not happy with his explanation. He's saying, you as the governor, you can't have so much wealth. Give half of it to Muhammad ibn Maslama. He says, فَإِنَّكُمْ أَيُّهَا الْعُمَّالِ جَلَسْتُمْ عَلَىٰ عُيُونِ الْمَالِ. So this is the justice of Umar radiallahu anhu. He says, because you people, O governors, you are sitting at the mouth of the treasure. You are responsible for all of the money. تَجْمَعُونَ لِأَبْنَائِكُمْ And you are gathering all of this for your children. This is not correct what you are doing. You're taking the wealth of the Muslims and you are amassing it and gathering it for your children. وَتُمَهِّدُونَ لِأَنفُسِكُمْ And you are building buildings for yourself. وَإِنَّمَا تَجْمَعُونَ لِلنَّارِ And everything you are gathering is going to go to the fire of Jahannam. He's very upset. And then when Muhammad ibn Maslama radiallahu anhu, he came into the gathering of Amr ibn al-As. Amr ibn al-As made food for him. Muhammad ibn Maslama said, I swear by Allah, I will not eat food until I carry out the command of Umar radiallahu, of Amir al-Mu'mineen. What has Amir al-Mu'mineen told me to do? Take half of your wealth. So Muhammad ibn Maslama took half of everything that Amr ibn al-As owned. And he says, حَتَّى إِنَّهُ أَخَذَ أَحَدًا عَلَيْهِ وَتَرَكَ الْآخَرِ Till if he had a pair of shoes, he took one shoe and he left the other one. Very strict, because this is why Sayyidina Umar chose him. You know, whatever Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu told him to do, he would do it. So he took half of everything he owned. He said, give him food. He said, no food. First I will fulfill the hukam of Umar radiallahu anhu, and then. So he took half of everything he owned and he left it. And there are many other stories, inshallah, that will come to show how strict he was with his governors. Rahimahullahu rahmatan wasi'atan. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallah, bihamdika, shadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.